Embry Riddle protests an ATP requirement for the right seat at regionals. Mission Aviation Fellowship needs help in its earthquake relief efforts in Sumatra. And Vector Aerospace is bringing glass cockpits to Bell 407s. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 6th, 2009. A well-meaning U.S. Congress has become involved in the controversy over low-time pilots finding their way into the right seats of regional airliners by crafting House Resolution 3371, the Airline Safety and Pilot Training Improvement Act of 2009. Among its provisions is a new minimum requirement that entry-level airline pilots have an ATP certificate, which requires a minimum of 1,500 hours. That's over 1,000 more than the current minimums of some regionals. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University has issued a statement critical of that requirement. Quote, "Our concern is with the requirements for the ATP, which are outdated and do not address the safety issues identified in H.R. 3371. We believe this specific provision will not address safety and could have a negative impact on our flight training program. We are also committed to working with members of Congress and the Federal Aviation Administration to reach a compromise on this issue. Our goal and the goals of H.R. 3371 are consistent. We agree with Congress that providing well-trained pilots to airlines will help ensure safe flight operations for the American public." Unquote. Responding to Indonesia's massive 7.6 magnitude earthquake, MAF, the Mission Aviation Fellowship, has sent an assessment team to the devastated city of Padang in the coastal region of western Sumatra. The quake hit September 30th, destroying hundreds of buildings and homes, triggering landslides, knocking out power, and cutting off roads into the city of approximately 900,000 people. Thousands of fatalities are expected in the fires and flooding, and relief agencies are relying on MAF and other groups in a desperate race against time. MAF has two aircraft on Sumatra, a Cessna 206 and a Caravan. Ron Wismer, manager of research and operations support, said friends of MAF can help in two ways. First, pray that rescue workers can gain access to people who need food and medical care. Second, financial gifts are welcome. The website is www.maf.org. Vector Aerospace Helicopter Services North America has received FAA certification for the development of an STC for integrated cockpit display systems for the Bell 407 helicopter. The new system includes all the expected situational awareness goodies in a regular size or extended instrument panel, 8 or 10-inch displays, Garmin 430 or 530 interfaces, and other options. Vector is currently manufacturing 407 glass cockpit installation kits, which will be available soon for sale, pending Transport Canada and EASA approval. Vector also offers a Rockwell Collins glass cockpit solution for the Sikorsky S-76 and S-61 that utilizes an FDS-2000 and Collins AHARS package. Up next on ANN, Eads opens a big new MRO and delivery center in Alabama. Analysts say export regulation is hobbling America's defense industry. And SpaceX has scheduled a second Dragon Lab users conference. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 6th. I'm Paul Platt. Eads North America has expanded its industrial presence in Alabama with a new maintenance, repair, and overhaul and delivery center at the Mobile Regional Airport. The new 30,000-square-foot facility will provide North American operators of the C-212 and CM-235 tactical transports with the capabilities of a certified FAA repair station, as well as direct support from the aircraft manufacturer. Those types are used by a variety of military and civil operators, including the U.S. Coast Guard, which is building up a fleet of HC-144A Ocean Sentry Maritime Patrol aircraft based on the CN-235. Mobile Mayor Sam Jones, City Council President Reggie Copeland, Mobile County Commission President Mike Dean, and company officials participated last Thursday in a grand opening ceremony for the new center, which expands upon an existing EADS Casa North America facility that has provided training, spares, and customer support since 2005. Dave Oliver, Chief Operating Officer of EADS North America, observed, quote, "We've enjoyed outstanding support here, and we look forward to our future together with this community," unquote. Industry analysts say one of the more competitive commercial exports of the U.S., defense products, is being hobbled by vague rules about what technology can and cannot be exported. Grant Rogan, CEO of Blenheim Capital Partners, tells Defense News, quote, "The UK and Canada both are well positioned. They've got a system in place, organizations that help them promote exports. In the United States, there just isn't a means of doing that. They rely largely on the foreign military sales system that governments will buy from the United States because they get economies on cost and production," unquote. Rogan says the current worldwide recession has aggravated that disadvantage for the U.S. Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX, has announced a second user conference for Dragon Lab. That's a free-flying, reusable spacecraft capable of hosting pressurized and unpressurized payloads to and from orbit. The event will focus on the needs of European users and will be held in the Netherlands on October 29th. Dragon Lab provides a platform for in-space experimentation as well as deployment of small spacecraft. The user conference is an opportunity for potential customers to explore Dragon Lab's capabilities and present customer-specific interests and requirements. The agenda includes an overview of the Dragon spacecraft, concept of operations, payload accommodations, and cost parameters. You can get details on the event at www.dragonlabuserconference.com. Still ahead, John Sandberg's daughter is raising money to restore her dad's tsunami air racer. NASA is inviting middle school kids to help design waste recycling technology. And an airline crew's argument escalates to fisticuffs. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 6th. I'm Paul Plack. For 18 years, the remains of Tsunami, billed as the first original home-built unlimited air racer since 1939, have been collecting dust, first for 10 years sitting idle in a hangar, and then another 8 years in a trailer in Princeton, Minnesota. Now, the daughter of Tsunami's late owner, John Sandberg, is raising funds to restore the iconic airplane to airworthiness. Flight tests and air race records indicated that Tsunami was capable of speeds in excess of 500 miles per hour, and it was the first home-built air racer to qualify in the gold heat races at Reno just 1 month after its first flight. Sharon Sandberg spells out the first milestone. Quote, "The 25th anniversary of Tsunami's first flight is August 17, 2010, and our first goal by that date is to know that Tsunami is on its way to a flyable condition. My hope is that all the pilots and aviation enthusiasts who marveled at the speed and sheer beauty of Tsunami will want to be part of our effort," unquote. Sandberg estimates the job will take a total of $600,000. Once flyable, plans call for Tsunami to make a tour of aviation events and museums before settling into a permanent home at an aviation museum. Get details at www.rebuildtsunami.org. That's rebuildtsunami.org. NASA is inviting 5th through 8th grade students to participate in something called a Waste Limitation Management and Recycling Design Challenge. Participants in the competition will design and test water recycling systems that could be used for future exploration of the moon. The top three teams will receive awards, and the first place team will receive an expense-paid trip to Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Teams of up to 6 students and one teacher or mentor should submit their proposals and results to NASA for evaluation by February 1st. Schools in the U.S. and its territories, science museums, science centers, and homeschool groups are eligible. The winning teams will be announced in May next year. The competition is designed to engage and retain students in the science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines critical to NASA's missions. Besides, recalling some recent headlines, perhaps NASA scientists could use some fresh ideas on how to make human waste recycling work. The pilot of a Canadian CH-146 Griffin helicopter made a quick stop for lunch on Thursday, touching down on a baseball diamond in Kenora, Ontario, and walking to a nearby A&W restaurant to get hamburgers for himself and his crew. CBC News reports neighbors were surprised, but apparently not upset. Laura Madison, who lives nearby, said she couldn't believe her eyes. Quote, "It's a huge double-door helicopter, which you don't see landing in the middle of town every day. He went in and got some A&W takeout and took off," unquote. One important detail to note, that ball field was not in use at the time. And finally today, the BBC reports the pilot and a flight attendant on an Air India flight from the United Arab Emirates to Delhi are alleged to have been involved in a scuffle in the aircraft gallery after the flight crew made charges of sexual harassment against the aircraft's pilots. The argument is said to have begun in the cockpit when the cabin crew confronted the pilots with claims of harassment of a 24-year-old female flight attendant. She filed a formal complaint after the flight landed. The Times of India reports the flight deck crew made a counterclaim that her charge was made to divert attention from a claim of misconduct on the part of a male flight attendant. The argument eventually came to blows in the aircraft galley over Pakistan when punches were allegedly thrown. One pilot and a female flight attendant reportedly suffered bruises in the scuffle. Indian police are investigating. Air India has ordered an inquiry and grounded everybody involved. Would it be fair to estimate that if you punch a flight attendant, sexual harassment charges will be the least of your worries? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell chats with Cirrus Aircraft CEO Brent Wouters about the company's plans heading out of the current general aviation slump. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.